toys throughout history have always been mere shadows of real life. What began as bland, faceless, movable figures evolved into ones with movable joints, voice boxes, and eventually, thanks to companies like Hot Toys, intricately detailed, highly expensive collector's items. You look at a high-end toy now, and it's like looking right at your favorite hero or pop culture icon. But what if you looked and saw not the face of someone you're a fan of, but someone you actually know? I'm Kevin Duncan, and this is What You Did. Tonight's story is called Dollface. We had just moved into this big new house in Connecticut. I remember thinking it could just swallow a little girl like me whole. My great uncle, who I met once when I was 5, I really don't remember, left it to my dad. Seeing this large, creepy house he lived in, no wonder he was single. As I walked toward it, the windows felt like eyes watching me. No, not eyes. Eye. One eye. One window felt like it was just glaring at me, like the aging skeleton of a cyclops. "Come on," my dad said. "We get to live in a mansion." I forced a smile, but dropped it the second he turned around. "This house could swallow me whole," I thought to myself again. I walked up to the threshold. The door knocker had a lion on it. The lion looked angry. Maybe he was trying to scare me away, warn me. I closed my eyes and stepped right into the mouth of this large house, letting it swallow me whole. When I opened my eyes, all that fear melted away. It was absolutely gorgeous. I was expecting some kind of gothic hill house with dust-drenched banisters, blanket-smothered furniture, and relics from a forgotten time. This was anything but that. My smile came back, but this time it stayed. The house was completely modernized and impeccably kept up. The walls had stylish wood accents. The floors alternated between carpets so thick you could sleep on and hardwood so polished you could ice skate in your socks. If this house wanted to eat me, I'd be perfectly fine living in this stomach. I ran past my dad, who was still admiring his new domain, nearly knocking over my mother, who was holding my 2-year-old brother, Dean. They'd survive. More importantly, I had to see the rest of this place. I ran in and out of each room like a kid in a candy shop. There was a music room with a piano. I tapped my fingers along a few keys to make sure it was in tune. I wouldn't know if it was anyway, but it sounded good to me. Another room had workout equipment, a treadmill, weights, and a super fun-looking rowing machine. I sat down to give it a try, but out of my periphery, I saw another room. It looked like it was full of toys. A toy room? Are you kidding me? This had to be a dream. I was only 8, so I was still into toys. I walked in, trying to make out what was in front of me in the semi-dark room. I saw outlines of what looked like dolls and dollhouses and action figures. I felt around for the light and flicked it. Suddenly, I felt like I was giving a speech to a crowd of stoic people. Staring at me were hundreds of faces. There were dolls, action figures, figurines, memorabilia, superheroes, 80 stars. It was a treasure trove. I immediately thought, oh my God, I can sell all of this on Pawn Stars or American Pickers. I was 8. I watched a lot of TV. As I surveyed the treasure trove of nostalgia, dreaming of all the money I was going to make and the TV time I was going to get, one figure caught my eye. It looked like a female doll in a loose-fitting blue dress. But unlike the sea of lifeless eyes fixated on me, her back was turned. she was turned completely backwards. I walked up to her and turned her around. "What's the matter, dollface? Shy?" "Me too." The doll was clearly old. She had long black hair, a blue dress, green porcelain eyes, and a small dimple on her right cheek. I placed her back on the shelf. "Dollface," I said again. "I like that name." "Don't be shy." I leaned forward and whispered, "You're my favorite." I walked back toward the hallway, put my hand on the light switch, and turned around for one more look. I swear, Dollface's smile looked bigger. I shrugged it off, shut off the light, and left. That night, as I lay in my giant bed, inside my giant room, in this giant house, I remember thinking, this room could swallow me whole. Then I remembered my new friend a few rooms over. She wouldn't let anything bad happen to me. After all, she was my favorite. I closed my eyes with a smile on my face. But that disappeared the moment I was dreaming. I was standing on a dock. It was night, but not totally dark. There was a fog around me. I scanned the horizon and stopped dead when I saw someone standing at the end of the dock. It was a woman. She had long black hair and a loose-fitting blue dress. I remember trying to say hello, to ask if she was all right, but no words came out. I was muted. I walked slowly toward her. I tried again to speak. Nothing. Now I was close enough to touch her. I reached out my hand and tapped her once on the shoulder. She turned to me. She had thick brown eyebrows, a small mole on her right cheek. Then our eyes connected. Hers were wide and green. Her mouth was open. She looked like she was choking. Her eyes were full of terror, panic. Then she reached her arms high above her head and started clawing at the air. What was she doing? It almost looked like she was swimming. Then she stopped. Her hands dropped to her sides. Her mouth closed. Her eyes shrunk back to calmness. She just stared at me, as if accepting her fate. Then she lay backwards, falling into the water like someone slumping onto a bed. I watched as she sank to the depths below. She was calm. She was accepting. She knew there was nothing else she could do. I woke up in a cold sweat. My back was drenched, my pillow soaked, and my hair was matted down like I had just jumped into a lake myself. I breathed slowly, trying to calm myself down, trying to sedate the adrenaline. But then I remembered the woman's face, the dimple, the long black hair, the blue dress. Before I realized what I was even doing, I was running down the hall to the toy room. I flipped on the light and ran over to Dollface. I stopped just before picking her up. My hand was shaking. Her back was turned to me again. But that wasn't the most jarring thing. Her outfit had changed. No blue dress. Now she was in some kind of gray pantsuit. And her hair was short. And now it was blonde. I turned her around. Was this the same doll? Am I just remembering what she looked like wrong? Am I projecting because of the woman in my dream? I put the doll down and whispered, "You're still my favorite." This time, I didn't fully mean it though. There was something off about her smile now. I looked back before turning the light off, I swear, her smile was even bigger than yesterday. I shut the light off. The breakfast counter had a cool TV mounted under one of the cabinets, so I could actually watch cartoons while I ate Lucky Charms. Maybe it was the fact that I was eating junk while watching junk, but a few bites in and I felt better. I was channel surfing. Flip, news story about a baseball game from last night. Flip, some talk show about paternity tests. Flip, missing woman. Flip, rerun of Golden Girls. Flip, wait. I flipped back quickly to the missing woman segment. Now it was on a commercial break. I missed it, but I swear, for a split second, I saw the woman in the blue dress. Maybe I'm projecting that, though. Get a grip, I told myself. I brushed it off as much as I could. I watched a rerun of The Magic School Bus while I ate the rest of my breakfast, half paying attention. I pushed it to the back of my mind, but like a spider, leg by leg, it crawled slowly back to the front of my brain. At school, we had computer class. We were supposed to be typing some nonsense about Christopher Columbus, but I couldn't focus on that. Instead, I went to Yahoo, Google wasn't a thing yet, and started searching for a missing woman in a blue dress. Nothing. I searched for choking deaths, drowning deaths, accidental deaths of any kind. Nothing recent. I sat back in my chair. Okay, I'm crazy, I admitted to myself. I closed the windows, opened the word processor, and typed my assignment. But before bed that night, I had a very uneasy feeling. I went to the toy room to check on Dollface, fully expecting her to have her back turned. No such luck. Or maybe it was actually good luck. I walked closer. I wanted to see her face. Still short blonde hair. Still a gray pantsuit. Her face seemed a little more stoic now, though. There was still a smile, but for some reason, it felt distracted. Like she was daydreaming about something. She terrified me at this point, but I still felt like I had to keep her happy with me. I leaned forward and whispered, "You're still my favorite." I didn't mean a word of it, but I faked a smile as I left the room and shut off the light. That night when I was brushing my teeth, I remember feeling a pain in my gums. It snapped me to attention, like a pinch in a dream. And I realized I'd been brushing really hard for a very long time. Something inside of me didn't want me to sleep. Looking back now, some recessed gums might have been worth it to avoid this night. But before I knew it, I was in position, and about to take another plunge into God knows what. I remember wishing I'd stayed awake just as my head started to spin. I knew it was too late now. I was laying in a field. It felt like fall. A light breeze whistled through crisp leaves. I sat up. It was nighttime. I saw a house in the distance and a barn with a single light on. As I walked to the barn, every crunch of leaves under my feet gave me chills. It felt like I was walking on brittle bones, succumbing to dust under the weight of my feet. Then, the smell of a campfire stopped me. I looked around and didn't see any sign of any campfire. Not one flickering light in sight. Weird. I continued to the barn. When I got to the entrance, it took me a moment to figure out how to even open the barn door. I kept looking for a handle. While I was thinking, the light grabbed my attention. I remember seeing moths smacking into it. but not just attracted to it, bouncing off of it like happy children. They were full-on smashing their heads into the light and dropping dead one by one. The ground was littered with them. I turned back to the door and, after pushing on it, realized it slid open. I've never been in a barn before, so this was a foreign language to me. Inside were a few dim lights, illuminating straw all over the ground, empty stables, and a woman standing in the corner. She had short blonde hair and what appeared to be a gray pantsuit, albeit darkened in some way. It looked like dirt or soot. I tried to ask if she was okay. Once again, nothing. I had no voice. I know what you're thinking. I walked up to her and the same thing happened as before. No. I turned and ran. I sprinted into the night and ran until the barn light was nothing but a tiny firefly in the distance. I stopped to catch my breath, slumping over my knees with my head down, trying to slow my heart rate. I breathed deep and heavy until the pain in my side stopped stabbing me. Once I caught my breath, I lifted my head up slowly, cautiously taking in my surroundings. All I saw was a calm field kissed by moonlight. Relieved, I turned towards the barn. The woman was suddenly in my face. Close enough for our noses to touch, I stumbled backward. She stared at me. Then she started convulsing, shaking violently, rubbing parts of her body as if trying to get something off of it. Her shakes got more and more aggressive until she stopped. Her jaw dropped in an unnatural way. Her arms dangled at her side, lifeless. And she just stared at me. I turned and ran as fast as I could into the night. I could barely see anything in front of me. But even running into a tree was better than whatever was back there. I stopped and turned to make sure I wasn't being pursued. In the distance, right where I encountered the woman, roared a violent-looking bonfire. I took one step toward it, and then I woke up. My mother was standing over me now. She had my brother Dean on her hip and a panicked look on her face. "What?" I asked her. She looked around my room and said, "Nothing. I thought I smelled something burning." "Sorry, you need to get up anyway. 45 minutes until we need to leave." "Burning?" This was too much of a coincidence to be that at all. After school that day, I came home to find my dad passed out on the couch watching TV, his dirty boots propped up on one of the cushions. I pulled them off and put them by the door. My mom loved that he was a manly construction worker, but she absolutely hated dirty shoes on her furniture. I grabbed the remote to turn off the TV, but as soon as my eyes connected with the screen, my thumb locked up. There was a story about a gas leak on a farm that had caused several explosions across the property, one of which trapped a woman in the barn. They showed a picture of her. She wasn't wearing a gray pantsuit in the picture, but the short blonde hair was unmistakable. I still don't know why, but my gut reaction was to sprint up the stairs and look at Dollface. Dollface had her back to me again. I was barely inside the room and I could already tell she looked different. I saw jeans, a white hoodie, and short, dirty blonde hair. I picked her up and turned her around. She looked so familiar to me now. Maybe I was just used to seeing this artificial face. But she certainly didn't look like the woman on the news. I had to know if this was all a coincidence. and the only way to do that was to find out if anyone that looked like the choking woman had met a dark fate as well. I put her back on the shelf and went to walk out of the room. I stopped as I felt her eyes burning into my back. I turned around, walked back, and whispered in her ear, "You're still my favorite," and walked out as fast as I could without looking panicked. At school, I told my teacher I wasn't feeling well. When I got to the nurse, I told her I thought I was just overheated. That's sick enough to hang out in the nurse's office, but not so sick that they call my parents. And the nurse had a computer in her office that kids were allowed to play on. I asked if I could use the computer, and she said sure. She said she had to run down to the office, but would be back soon to check on me. I jumped on her computer and promptly went to Yahoo. Again, there was no Google back then. I started searching, again, for choking deaths, drowning deaths, and a blue dress. Nothing. I deleted blue dress from the search and tried again. Instantly, a news story popped up about a woman found in the Connecticut River. They presumed she had fallen out of her boat and drowned in the strong current. Her face. It was the woman from my first dream. It was absolutely her. There was one picture of her being put into a body bag from afar. She was covered in dirt and mud, but as I zoomed in on the image, I saw the faintest blue in one corner of the dress that hadn't been muddied. I sat back in my chair as a cold dizziness crawled up the back of my neck and the base of my skull. I stood up. I felt dizzy for real now. The sides of my vision darkened. The next thing I knew, I felt cold on my forehead. I opened my eyes. I had a cold, wet washcloth on my forehead. My mother was smiling. "Hey, baby girl, what happened?" I asked her. She told me I fainted in the nurse's office at school. She said next time I should really take off my hoodie before I get overheated. I didn't know how to explain why I really passed out, how we had a doll that seemed to predict the future, that I had dreams of two women dying that seemed to really happen. I laid down and closed my eyes. I woke up startled a moment later, only it wasn't. It was now the middle of the night. I must have slept through the rest of the day. It was 2 a.m. according to my alarm clock. I stood up and walked to the kitchen to get some water. But as I walked down the hallway, the kitchen seemed to move further and further away from me. Was I hallucinating? Then, everything went black. "Am I blind?" I thought to myself. I looked all around me and saw a single dresser with a mirror and a small light above it glowing in the darkness. I didn't recognize it at all. I walked over to it, cautiously, and I swear as I moved toward it, it was moving towards me. There was nothing else at all but darkness drowning my surroundings. As I approached the dresser, I looked in the mirror and saw myself. The girl in the mirror was me, but also different. She was wearing a white hoodie. I had a green one on. Her hair was a little shorter than mine. I slowly waved my hand across the air, expecting the reflection to do the same. She did not. Suddenly, she started crying. But not hysterically. It was a numb cry. She had accepted something incredibly saddening that had broken her in some way. The girl reached her hands out in front of her, picking up some invisible object. She lifted it above her head and around her neck, like she was putting on some kind of imaginary necklace. Then she adjusted it a bit, maybe tightening it. She looked down, deep in thought. Then she lifted her head, stared blankly, and out of nowhere her neck snapped unnaturally to the side. She was still. She was just standing there with what looked like a broken neck. I turned my head to the side, matching her pose. I couldn't bend my neck that far to the side, though. Definitely broken. The girl's hand lifted, while the rest of her stood coldly still. Her hand balled into a fist, and she punched the mirror. The thud echoed all around me as a small crack appeared in the mirror. She hit it again, louder this time, and an even bigger crack appeared. Then, she pulled her arm back, and right as she hit, I woke up. I heard pounding echoing through the house. The front door. I walked over to my bedroom window, which overlooked the front yard. I pulled the nearly see-through curtain back just enough to see out. I saw three police cars parked in front of my house. I must have stood there a long time because by the time I got downstairs, it looked like the officers and my parents had been talking for a while. Everything seemed like it was moving in slow motion. I remember seeing my dad with his head down and my mother with makeup running under her eyes. I immediately thought of my little brother, until I saw him stumble out from behind the couch. A lump crawled into my throat. I needed to ask what was going on, but I couldn't get the words out. I just knew it was something I didn't want to hear. What it was, I never could have imagined. I was apparently a twin, but my sister had died in childbirth. My parents had never told me about her. But apparently the doctor lied, essentially kidnapped and raised my sister as his own. Her whole life, she felt like she didn't belong. She knew, deep down, something was wrong. She hung herself. It was only after the coroner was called that all of this unraveled. My parents had no idea they had another daughter alive and well. I didn't know I had a sister that I'd never met. And now, I never will. I never entered the toy room again. And many years later, long after my parents passed away and I sold the house, I left everything right where it was. To the doctor who betrayed my parents, lied, kidnapped, and kept my sister from me, who I will never meet, I will never forgive you for what you did. And Dollface, I don't care what you look like, who you look like. I don't want to see you ever again. Keep your secrets to yourself. Keep your back to me. But just in case you're out there, somewhere, listening, and because I'm still terrified of you, you're still my favorite.